Last Sunday, in our Sunday Club anniversary, we heard the story of the parable of the talents that Jesus told. Thinking about what has been entrusted to us and how we can use the talents, the gifts that God has given us. And today, we take that further, that challenge to dream big and take risks, by thinking about our place in the body of Christ, which is the church. We're going to listen to words of the Apostle Paul, who compares the human body to the body of people called the church. And Claire's going to read to us. Thank you, Claire.
The reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 31. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first all of his apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. Amen. Well, Jesus will show you the most excellent way, not me.
Thank you. Claire's going to help with the Sunday Club this morning. So let's pray together as we reflect on God's word to us. Lord, we do thank you for your living word that speaks into our lives by your Holy Spirit. And however we have come to church this morning, you have a word for each one of us to inspire us, to challenge us and comfort us. And we pray that you will give us ears to listen today and hearts, hands and feet to respond in obedience to you. Amen. If I were to ask you, how did you get to church today? One might say, I came in the car. Another might say, I walked. Some might have come on a bike. And like Stuart and family, they may have done several other churches before coming here. I think you managed more than the Apostle Paul yesterday. How did you get to church today? Well, there is another answer to that question, and it's this. God sent you here. God sent you here today to church. And I'm thankful he did. God is building up his family, the people of God in this place. You see, you don't go to church. You are the church. Yeah, you are the church. That's the message of the reading that we just heard. You are the body, and Jesus Christ is the head. You can't have a living body cut off from its head. So we are united to Jesus Christ, who is our head, our Lord. One head, one body, with so many different people. And as we look around church today, we can see just how magnificently different we all are one from another. Different people, different ages, different experiences, different seasons of life and growth, different skills and talents represented here. And you are each unique. You are each God's handiwork. He has made you. And, you know, I want to say that you are good enough for God, just as you are. You are good enough for God. Yes, as we think about those pictures of clean and unclean, we know that God needs to do some work in our hearts to make us more like Jesus, more loving, more kind, more helpful. But right now, you are good enough for God, and God loves you just as you are. And I want you to always feel valued in this body of Christ, in this church. And, you know, we rejoice that in Haverhill, in our church, God is causing growth and life. You know, it may surprise you that not every Methodist church has to put out extra seats like we had to last Sunday. I've ministered in churches so small in number that sometimes I've had to request that couples with two cars bring them both to church just so this church car park doesn't look so empty. How did you get here? God sent you. God sent you. And that's a precious thing. God might have sent you here decades ago. God might have sent you here very recently. God might have sent you here for the very first time today. It doesn't really matter, but God sent you. And why did he send you here? It was no coincidence. Well, at least two reasons that I want to give. There are many reasons, but I've only time for two important ones here. Firstly, I want to say God sent you here to belong. To belong. That's what being a Christian is all about. Being part of the body of Christ. To belong to a community of faith. And belonging is about being yourself. Being yourself. Who you are, your gifts, your personality. Just being yourself. And you know, sometimes in all our busyness or great need, sometimes we can forget that first priority about belonging is just being, actually, just being here. We sometimes overlook that need to be by the need to do. You know, there's a danger that any church can focus on what it wants from people. Do you know what I mean by that? You know, sometimes we make big demands. You know, I think of the highwaymen back in the day. I mean, at least they gave you the option of your money or your life. But, you know, it seems sometimes the church wants both. And of course, you know, I say that jokingly, but of course there is a point there about surrender and relinquishment that are very much gospel truths as we follow Jesus. Yeah, great demands are made of us. All for Jesus is our anthem. All for Jesus. But it's love, not force, that compels us to give. So yes, we can, as church, be too quick with what can you do for us? What can we get you to do? What rota can we get you to go on? And a few knowing looks there and nods. You know, just put your name here. You've probably heard the Christian comedian Milton Jones, who said that people think of the church as being like a giant helicopter. They don't want to get too close in case they get sucked in by the rotors. Think about it. Now, what you don't realise is those sheets that you put your name on when you come into church, you know, I'm collecting those sheets, I've got a long list of names, and I'm going to put at the top of those sheets new volunteers. And it'll be something like, Sunday Club Rota on one sheet. And then what else could we have? Maybe, you know, waiting list for stewards, yeah, on another, and so on. Yeah, you thought I was going to throw them away after 28 days, you know, data protection, but no, I'm going to keep them, and I'll put them up on the board, and you'll find out what you're doing in a couple of weeks. Well, it's true, isn't it? Sometimes we can say, well, what do you do? And, you know, we don't get our value from doing. Sometimes we can feel like that, and when we have a season through illness or maybe retirement, when we're not as busy, we can sometimes wonder what our purpose is. But we have to remember today that, you know, God loves you for who you are, not just what you do. So firstly, God sent you here to be, to belong. And because God sent you here to belong, he also brought you here for a purpose. I wonder if you know what that purpose is today as you think upon your life of witness and service to Jesus. What is your purpose? Maybe you can answer that question straight away. Maybe you can't answer that just yet. Maybe if I'd asked you 10 years ago, you would have been able to say, but maybe now you're not so certain. Maybe you don't know what your purpose is in the body of the church, but you really want to know. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a good place to be. I want each of us to find that purpose and fulfill it. Whatever stage of life we are at, however young we are, however old we might feel, the body of Christ is ageless. The body of Christ is ageless. The body of Christ is as young as the babies that we see in our church here, and it's as senior as a great-grandmother. It's both. And all points in between. As a Christian, we never lose our purpose or our value. We never outgrow it. We never outlive it. And seasons of life change, we know. But let's be a church where we have no has-beens, only will-bes. Yeah? No has-beens, only will-bes. Be a will-be person today. Because you have a contribution to make, past, present, and future. And I'm first to admit, the church is not always very good at facilitating that. I need your help. We need to talk about it. God sent you here. And the first thing that you did when you came through that door was to look for your seat, to find your place. And that's what I want for you, to find your place in the church. You may already know it, but you may be searching. As members of the body of Christ, we want to find our place in God's purposes and God's plans, to respond to God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do now, this week, or next year, or next week? What do you want me to do, Lord? Where do I fit? I'll ask Kathy to put on two images on screen that might help us. Think about a jigsaw puzzle. Finding the right place for a particular piece might not be obvious straight away. But every piece of the jigsaw is needed to complete the picture. Every one in the body of Christ is needed. If one piece of jigsaw is lost, the picture is not complete until it's found and placed. We are all needed, and when God finds us and fits us into place, we find satisfaction and joy in the service of the Lord. And that's what it should be all about, isn't it? Jesus said, I haven't called you servants, I've called you friends. And don't just think of this jigsaw puzzle as representing the church structures and activities. Think of the big picture. Our prayer is, Lord, what do you want me to do in my family, in my community, in my workplace, in my college or university, in my school? Where do you want me to serve you? It's not just the in and the up of Sundays, but it's the down and the out of Monday to Saturday as well, as salt and light. So we pray, place me, Lord, where I belong. And the other picture is the dry stone wall and the builder. You know, God is the master builder. He is the master builder. We are living stones, as Peter wrote in the scripture. We are living stones. And God is wise enough to know just where we sit well and when we fit alongside one another. And like this craftsman, God might need to knock off some of our rough edges, some of our sharpness, some of our jagged bits of our personalities. He needs to round us off and just fit us in so that, you know, we sit comfortably with others and others are comfortable with us. He does that by his love and his grace and not force. And you know, the one thing that's a bit not quite right relating to the body of Christ and that wall is that it's quite uniform. And, you know, the church of God, we are living stones, and, you know, church is messy. Church is messy because it's people. Yeah? It's more messy than a neat stone wall. And so I'm sure we all have our issues with the church. It's very easy to criticize the church and we often do. Some give up on church. But what bothers you about the church should amaze you. It should amaze you to think that God chooses people like you and me to advance his kingdom, when I'm sure he could think of better ways and, you know, stronger people or better people or more talented people. But no, he chooses the, what he says, the weak things of the world, weak things like me, to be used in his purposes. So if something bothers you about the church, look at it a different way. Be amazed by it. You know, like the human body, the church is pretty messy on the inside. But it is organized like the human body. It is organized. It's not really a fashionable word, is it? Organization, administration, it, you know, doesn't kind of light our fires really. But, you know, having a rota is just church being organized. Having church officers and leaders is church being organized. In being and doing, Jesus brings to us the fullness of God's life and love. He fills his people, the church, with many gifts. I mean, yes, I've mentioned the sort of coffee rota and other things, but if you read again that list through Corinthians, you know, there are greater gifts, aren't there? Gifts of healing and miracles and wonders and prophecy. And, you know, those things didn't just belong to Acts chapter 2 or the letters of Paul, but, you know, God is still bringing out those gifts in his church today. So be encouraged. Be challenged. God sent you here to be and to do. To find joy and satisfaction in serving the Lord and helping others. Not because you have to do it, but as Sarah reminded us once, you get to do it. It's a privilege to do it. Even stacking chairs. You know, people say, oh, I don't feel used in the church, and then you ask them to stack some chairs and they say, oh, I'm being used. You know, let's not be precious about things, but let's see everything that we do, whether it's stacking chairs or preaching a sermon, it's all for the Lord. Keep on listening for his call on your life and ask other Christians to help you answer that call. You know, and I'm ready to listen and to talk with you and help you discern that. Not what we want from you, but what we can do for you and how you can give yourself and keep unlocking your talents. So may God guide you and lead you to love and serve him best of all your days. Amen.